Hi, I'm Tracy Samilton. Ernest Hemingway spent his boyhood summers in Michigan and the last 20 years of his life in Cuba, so it's perhaps fitting that a Michigan company is overseeing a construction project at Finca Vigia, Hemingway's Cuban home. In this report in our Pure Cuba series, we take a look at the against-the-odds race to save a Cuban and American treasure. Ernest Hemingway's estate, Finca Vigia, is 10 miles east of Havana on a hill overlooking San Francisco de Paula. When we arrive, boys are playing baseball on the same field where Ernest Hemingway's sons played. The estate is in pretty good shape, unlike some of the historic sites in Cuba. A band plays traditional Cuban songs as we walk up the hill. Museum director Ada Rosa Alfonso Rosales greets us. She's wearing a turquoise linen pantsuit.
I love my work. Hemingway, all the time, love Cuba.
Her tour starts with the bell at the front entrance that so many people have rung over the years.
And I ring the bell for you.
Ernest Hemingway's widow, Mary, gave Finca Vigia to the Cuban government in 1960. The house is a time capsule. Everything is exactly as Hemingway left it the year before he died. Books, hunting trophies, even the half-drunk bottles of liquor on the bar cart. It's literary voyeurism at its best.
Hemingway normally wrote standing up and handwrite in his room.
But Finca Vigia and its treasures were in grave danger from decades of heat, humidity, pests, and neglect. That changed after Jenny Phillips paid a visit. She's the granddaughter of Hemingway's famous editor, Maxwell Perkins. The roof was in appalling condition.
The mold situation was incredible.
Phillips returned to the U.S. with a mission to save Finca Vigia. It wasn't easy. There was so much distrust.
The Cubans really closed things off, shut them down, didn't want the Yankees coming in anywhere or meddling or God forbid, taking anything.
And this project was a first. So the red tape in both countries was daunting. It took persistence, but eventually trust grew. The Americans consulted, the Cubans did the work, and together they saved the house. But the next big challenge was building something from scratch, and that's where the Cubans ran into trouble. The museum needed an archival laboratory on site to restore books, documents, and other precious artifacts. Ron Staley is with Christman, a Lansing construction company known for historic renovations. He says the half-finished structure was unsafe and had to be torn down. To an American eye,
they haven't built anything there for 50 years. And so the skill set to build has been lost.
So they took a new approach. Christman would assemble every single thing needed to build the lab and send it to Cuba in shipping containers in a kit, like a Sears Roebuck house. Manuals in Spanish would show Cuban workers how to construct the lab. Staley says every item, from screws to tools to masonry, had to be included.
If we are short one piece of pipe, they won't have the pipe on the island. It isn't like you can say, well, I'm going to run down to Lowe's to get it. It does not exist.
When Michigan Radio was in Cuba, workers were building a new administrative office with technical help from the Finca Vigia Foundation. But the first shipping container for the archive lab hadn't yet arrived. We followed up with museum director Ada Rosa Alfonso this week. It was more than a month later than expected, but she tells us the first container is finally sitting in Cuba's port of Mariel. Alfonso lapses into Spanish when asked how she feels. Basically, she's excited. When the container arrives at Finca Vigia, the seal will be broken and an inventory taken under the watchful eyes of a Cuban border official. The contents from then on will be kept under lock and key to deter pilfering. And the first American-designed, Cuban-built construction project in 60 years will be underway. I'm Tracy Samilton.